Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about fear. What is it? Fear of the word cancer. What does that bring up in your life? Does it bring up all kinds of things? You say, I've been holding it off for so long. All of a sudden, you end up with a diagnosis. You hold it off and you say, I'm never going down that road. Do everything and anything to possibly keep you on that other highway that's going in a different direction. What happens when it meets you full on, face on, and you are just hit the wall and there is nowhere else to go? What do you do? Do you look to God? Are you angry with Him? Do you turn around and say, what happened? What is the reason? And you're looking in the rearview window to be able to find all the reasons why you did something wrong or you deserve this or it's something that's put upon you. What really is the experience of the word cancer? How can you work through it, be with the experience, be able to phase yourself through, and maybe decide what are the points or gems of living that you need to create for each day versus always having an outlook where you control your life. Your life is a legacy, and this is how it's supposed to play out. Can you see the gem or the grace of the moment of presence? Today, my guest is Andrea London. Her book is Love Conquers Cancer, Discover Hope and Alternative Healing on the Road to Wellness. Andrea, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you for having me, Dr. Jeanette. I really, really appreciate it. I feel honored.
Oh, you're so welcome. Don't you think, Andrea, when your husband had the diagnosis of cancer, you said it was right several months after you had married him. Do you think that sometimes you say, oh my gosh, my life was all planned out, and now what?
Absolutely, Dr. Jeanette. We were both pretty much hit out of left field with the diagnosis. We did not see it coming, and we did have a roadmap, so to speak, of how our life was going to be. Cancer was definitely not part of the plan.
You know, I've spoken to so many times patients, clients, many authors on this show before, and physicians, and they say right when you think that your plan is now being activated and put into full gear, and you don't see anything else in your life, but you're going along with blinders, something like this hits. I had a guest on, he said his road was all planned, and he was coming back from a vacation, hit head on, and all four of his family members were on the edge of life. I think sometimes we say, what is the point of our life that we're getting hit with? Is it to say, maybe I'm not in control? Is it now beginning a new path towards finding the source? And is it a God life after that? Or is it saying, you know what? I thought I knew it all, and all of a sudden I don't. Don't you think all of these questions have come up in the several years since then?
Absolutely. I believe we have gotten through this past 18 years of Lenny's challenges with his health because we have a strong faith and we are strong believers. But I have to say, if it were someone that didn't have that, it could certainly get you to that, going through the things that we've gone through.
Right, because I think it tends to say, okay, you're no longer in control because now you have a whole new book and you have absolutely no guidelines to be able to walk that path, don't you think?
Absolutely. We absolutely agree with that. In the situation that we were in, Lenny was told by several top-notch lymphoma specialists in the country that he shouldn't do conventional medicine because he was too young to have the type of cancer that he had. And so we had no choice but to look to alternatives, because I believe back then, had he been given the option to start out of the gate with chemotherapy, radiation, whatever it took on the traditional side, he would have probably jumped right in and done it. But because all these top doctors said, do not go that route because you're going to eventually run out of cards, we looked immediately to the alternative side and prayed and walked every day, every step, you know, in faith that God would lead us to the right path and the right people.
Right, because the same thing sometimes when people say, I want this for my loved one, or your patient says, I'm commanding that this is what I want done, and you meet resistance along all of your paths, sometimes you say, I'm not getting the, quote, health care I deserve, when in essence, maybe it is a divine timing, maybe it is a God guide in place, and they are saying, we'd like to shift you to this other side, can you just listen to the message behind the words? And I think sometimes when we say, how can we see the forest, you know, through the trees kind of idea, is, are we able to even have that at these moments?
Well, I think it just depends on the person, Dr. Jeanette. I mean, Lenny and I were so, like I said in the beginning, hit out of left field with the whole cancer word. We had no idea. And, you know, at first we had an oncologist that was very, very just everything conventional. But after we worked with him for about a year, we fired him because he just wasn't open to anything on the alternative side. And it was an alternative healer that healed Lenny. He actually went into remission in less than 6 months, and he was in stage four. And so we found this alternative doctor. He was phenomenal. And Lenny's conventional doctor just would not acknowledge that that's what healed him. So we fired him, and the oncologist we connected with next that has been with Lenny for the past 17 years, he's never been one to down alternative medicine. He just simply says, I'm not educated on it. I don't know anything about it. But if it's what you feel that Lenny needs to do and what Lenny feels he needs to do, then that's fine with me. So he's never been one to close the door or make us feel, you know, bad about choices. He's just always said, I don't know anything about it, which, you know, is great on one hand, but it's very frustrating on the other, because it's my heart's dream, and it is definitely a big dream, that someday all the conventional cancer doctors would marry the alternative doctors, so to speak, and they would work together so that, you know, they could look at the person as a person and heal the whole person instead of, oh, let's just do this one method.
Right. But also, too, we talk about in this day and age, you know, physician burnout. Physicians are really on overload. If you look back at physicians over the decades, in the 1900s, it was what you were given in books. It was what your mentors knew. And it was what you passed down within the profession to be able to know. Now, with the onslaught of the internet in the last 20 years, every physician has to know everything about everything and do everything and be everything. It's almost an inconceivable thought, I think, these days when we say, how can the physician know everything to be able to fix everyone to 100% just being the know-all? And I think also, too, with patients, just as you shared in your book, is how do you navigate that web when you have only one bits or piece of it? And I think truly it's about all of us learning to explore the web that we are and being just having a responsibility for each part of the web versus having to be in the whole and the entirety of it. I'll tell you, you know, from a physician's point of view, it's pretty tough when someone says, but I found this and it's in Germany and I know that you can get it and it'll come by FedEx and then I need you to do it. And it's really difficult because just as your physician had shared, he didn't know. Well, not everybody knows everything. And I think, don't you think what you had to do is take on the knowing for yourself to explore the path?
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we did because we felt like, you know, he only knew one way to go. And it wasn't like we thought any less of him. We just simply thought, well, there's got to be other ways. So we tried to, and the internet was just becoming popular when Lenny got sick. I mean, we're going on almost 19 years now that his diagnosis came, you know, was given. So it was just starting to become popular, but we did exactly that, Dr. Jeanette. We reached out to anyone and everyone and did our own research and became, you know, I don't want to say experts, but we read.
You became your own advocate.
Yes. And right. I guess for me, I didn't ever expect our oncologist to do all of that. I just would love the day to come where the oncologist would say, oh, well, let me talk to that naturopath or let me talk to that, you know, whoever to, you know, talk about your diet and things like that, because it's just frustrating that they don't know anything about any of that side of it. And I know they don't have a lot of time to, you know, further their education, but I don't know. I just feel like if you're in medicine, you should make the time to treat the patient. And if you don't have the time, definitely partner up with other people based on what that patient's asking for.
Right. It's all about creating your team. And your team is your therapist, your team is your priest, it is your cancer doctor, it is your surgeon, it's your alternative care practitioner, it's your primary care person, your anesthesiologist, and on and on. And I think when we're able to learn that just as our body has so many parts, and so too, we create all these parts to our team, yes?
Absolutely. I totally agree with that.
Let's talk for a second in your book. Again, the book is Love Conquers Cancer. You talk about the importance of living, and I wrote on the top of the page, while healing, you're creating a new life. Because I think that once when you have a diagnosis, many times we say, we would love to fix it and get me back to where I was. Take it out and put me back together. It's always looking in retrospect how they want to be as it was before. When really, the importance of living, when you really hit that wall and you learn that you're no longer in control and God is, then you really learn how to live each day for its moment. Don't you think that's the most important concept?
Absolutely. I really believe in all of this, that God wanted to heal both of us, not just Lenny. And you hit it on the nail with the whole, we're not in control, because at the end of the day, what this has taught me is we are not in control. As much as we'd like to think we are, and as much as we'd like to think we can write out our plans and our goals and our dreams and everything's going to happen, as long as we do what we can to make it happen, I mean, you can have a detour big time. And to me, it really can be a blessing if you just open up and say, okay, God, I surrender. What do you want? Where do you want me to be? Who do you want me to be? And, you know, how can I grow from this in a positive way versus being, you know, bitter or angry or, you know, why God, why, or why me, right, or why him? I mean, we just don't have the pleasure of getting those answers, because a lot of times we're never going to get the why. We're just going to have to realize that it's for a special purpose of when these things happen. And, you know, Lenny did get very frustrated along the way, several different milestones, as did I, because we just wanted it to be gone. It's like, you know, when you're in the fire, it's hard sometimes to, you know, see the other side of it. And, you know, now that we've come through to this point, I mean, we're still not totally, I mean, he's not totally cancer-free yet. But, and, you know, I've even said, and I believe I even mentioned it briefly in the book, you know, we both have even talked about, if God never totally takes us away from him, will he be able to live with it? And will I be able to live with it as his wife? Just the not knowing. And the answer is yes, because we have so much more peace now. And we truly do live by faith. I mean, the alternative is fear, like you said at the beginning of your your show. And, I mean, we just don't go there. It's like, I choose faith over fear. You can't have both.
Well, I think the idea of saying, can you live with it, versus just having an unconditional life, is two totally different things. And also, I think I've written, every time I get a book, I just set my hand on the book, and I have a knowing of what it is, of the message. And the message for you was to explore the mysteries of the body and the source of unconditional love. So cancer is just showing you the mysteries of the body, and you're exploring them. So that's the part you're playing. And the source of unconditional love is the path that you're taking. And I think truly that's what we look at and we say, are all of those things outside of ourselves? Are all of these things out there as a result of, did we do something wrong or right or whatever, with judgment, versus saying, I'm exploring the body. Isn't this a journey? And when we know about it, it's definitely unconditional love, because that's just what God, divine timing is about, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is a journey, but I think most of the time when people say, I hear all of this, I understand what you're saying. However, when you're in the midst of it, you can't really take those esoteric words and put them into practice. And I think that's really true to focus on for a minute, because when you're in the heat of the fire, you can't look back and say how beautiful it is in the moonlight. You just know you're in the fire. So I think sometimes we say, do we need to have the knowing of everything, or can we just be with what's going on and do the best we can? And don't you think that's truly what you talked about, is about being able to, for each moment, do what it is, know what you can, go the best you can, learn something, and go to the next step, right?
Absolutely. I mean, if you try to figure things out and try to reason, so to speak, and, you know, let your mind go, sometimes, you know, anxiousness and fear and doubt and all these things that you don't want will start to creep in. And so I agree. It's like you can't, and it's really hard to, Dr. Jeanette, to guide other people sometimes when they are in the midst of the fire, because
right.
You don't know what their destiny is. You know, it may not be the same thing for
right.
them. There's been so many times where I've prayed with moms and they've lost their kid. And I thought for sure that it would end that way. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so I can only say that God is in control of everything and everyone, and I just know that at the end of all of it, his plans are good.
Right. Well, you know, Andrea, I did a show with Mary Hill, and I encourage everyone to look back into the archives to find that show with Mary Hill. And she was a hospice nurse that worked only with children for several decades. And we talked about this and about the death, because I work a lot with end of life, and we find, what is the purpose behind death in the first place? And we always say that death is just changing clothes, moving to the next phase. In other words, believing that your soul is eternal. And if we can think that for everyone from birth all the way through to elders, I think it kind of lessens the human load that society has put on us, you know? And I think that, you know, when we see children and we say, why are they passing so early? That child came in to say, hey, I just wanted you to have more joy in your life. Do you have joy? Okay, cool. And now I'm going to show you how you can also learn about having joy in God. And then the person passes on. In other words, everybody has a purpose. It might be to just smile It might be to love somebody. It might be to be able to learn to be more open. It may learn to have more grace or to have more faith. It could be all of these different things. However, when we say, but I don't get to see them graduate from high school or walk down the aisle or do this or that, if we remember that those are all human society things that are being put on us, we believe that it's such. Do you know what I mean? So in other words, can we take it out and say, what is the path of the soul versus what is the path of the human? The human is, I want to graduate high school, I want to go to school, I want to have merit, I want to have kids, I want to have grandkids. That's the human. The soul is, I'm learning grace, faith, unconditional love, and honor, right? So do you think that sometimes we say, which one would we find? I think sometimes when we get in the path, it might jump from one side to the other, and we might be scared, but that fear is not the bridge. You know, faith is the bridge. So it's truly about how can you keep on the soul path, don't you think?
Right, absolutely. I agree with all of that. It's just, like I said, when you're trying to encourage someone that's in the fire fighting themselves, or especially for me, this whole journey was the toughest when we were in Mexico and we became friends for 6 weeks there with all of these other people, and in particularly two moms that were there fighting for their young kids and, you know, going against the grain, you know, going under the radar to bring their kids there. It's just, you know, when you see a mom fighting for their child, it's a whole different ball game, in my opinion.
Right. And I think truly that's the path towards opening the heart. You can't get to the soul with a closed heart. If you have, can you hear a noise in my background? Because the guy decided to do outside.
I can hear a noise in my background. A jet is flying over.
I don't hear
can
yours.
You hear
no.
I don't hear anything on yours.
Okay.
But it might have been because I heard the jet.
Yeah, don't worry about it. No, I don't hear yours. Just tell me if you hear mine. But I think also, too, the idea is that you cannot get to the soul with a closed heart. And to open the, continually opening the heart is really where a lot of these health conditions come along. And I say it's time to open up. It's time to become aware. It's time to awaken to something more, don't you think?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when you really look at the big picture, we're only here for a minute.
Right.
I mean, that's what gives me hope, is knowing that this is just a temporary home. This is not ultimately our home.
Right, and that this is just, like I said before, this is a phase of our being. I think if we can just take off that human, sometimes it seems to be a little bit lighter. You know, it's really a hard thing to do. Let's talk for a second when we talk about anger. Don't you think that anger comes up? I think a lot of people try to hold on to it. They choke it down and say, oh, no, I'm going to be strong for the other person. The other person says, oh, no, I'm not going to get angry because I will show something that I don't want to. Yet anger is a release to be able to have that moment and that connection, don't you think?
Yes, I do. And I have struggled many times with anger. And I just really believe it's an emotion. And the most important thing is that we don't live there. If we are angry for a moment and we express it, I believe when you let anger take root and you become an angry person, that's a whole different situation. And I also believe, for me anyway, that the anger that I've struggled with the most was a result of not knowing or fearing hurt or fearing loss. And when I realized that, it just gave me a whole new perspective. And I really believe that, again, you can't have fear and faith at the same time. You have to choose. And so when you have faith, it's just your soul is much more at peace.
Right.
And that's just my opinion.
I almost liken fear to as having a fake awareness. In other words, it's like a fake kind of faith. In other words, you're saying that you're fearing something, and it, you're saying, oh, well, I have faith, but then you have fear. So they're like on the opposite end of the outliers in the paradigm. You can't be in opposite ends of each other at the same time. So one of them has to change or mellow or morph or whatever it is, because it has to come to a different place. You know, it's sort of like saying, I want to be cold, but it's 150 degrees out. It's not going to happen. You know, I want to be in love, but you're in a marriage that isn't. It can't be, you know, it's one or the other in this case. You might be saying that, but it's showing as a false illusion. It's showing as a fake sense of. So I think when we say when we have fear, it's best to be in the fear and own the fear and go through the fear and then say, okay, I'm finished with fear. Now, God, show me what's next. What's next, you know, and see what that is. And I think sometimes that's the way out of it, don't you think?
Yes. I don't remember where I heard it from, but I love the I guess it's called acronym for fear, false evidence appearing real. And a lot of times it's not even real. Like you said, it's fake. And a lot of times doctors on both sides of medicine that we have found will, you know, give you certain types of news and there'll be an undertone of fear. Well, if you don't start this treatment tomorrow, you may not be here a week from now or a month from now or whatever.
Right.
And I realized that they're, you know, having to give the news based on numbers and statistics and all of that. But, you know, when you hear that, it's really,
right,
like you said, you have to be aware that, okay, I'm scared right now, but what am I going to do with this scaredness?
Right.
What am I going to do with the fear? Am I going to stay here? Or am I going to just get through it and realize, you know, this doctor is not God. You know, they are practicing medicine and, you know, they are not in control of my destiny. So that's what I mean by, you know, you can choose fear or faith, but you can't have both. You got to make a choice.
And I think also the idea that
at the end of the day, Dr. Jeanette, we consistently choose faith. We may be scared for a moment.
Right.
We may be, you know, oh my gosh, what's going to happen for a moment, but we don't stay there.
Right. And I think also, too, the idea of fear when physicians put it out there is that they're basing it upon their own paradigm, their own realities, and their own knowing. And I think when we realize that our lifetime for ourselves and our soul is based upon our own perceptions and our own reality and our own truth. So when we see that, what are the outside forces? And are the outside forces my reality? In other words, whatever they're saying is their reality. And now do I choose to bring it into my reality? Do I choose to have the same fear that they have? Do I choose to do the same things that they say? Do I choose to jump into the statistics and be one of the numbers on the pages? All of those is an outside reality. And that brings me to the word when you said about healing at any cost. I think that what truly is the cost? Is the cost finances, material goods? Is it seeing what is important in the world? Is it taking all of the outsideness of our identity and bringing us down and saying, you know what, that really is not me. This is who I am.
I personally believe it's what the last thing you said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is who I am. All of this stuff over here that's being dealt to me doesn't matter because that's not who I am. And when Lenny was first given his prognosis by the third oncologist at Hopkins that we went to see, you know, everyone asked the question because his whole family was crammed into this room and they all wanted to know, you know, how long does he have? He's in
right.
four, you know, he's supposedly had this for anywhere from 5 to 7 years. How long does he have?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he was able to give that answer like, no big deal. 7.5 to 9 years is what you've got. That's why we don't agree you should start with chemo right away. So, you know, I mean, I looked right at the doctor and said, I'm not receiving that report. Thank you very much. I'm just not going to receive that.
Right.
And we didn't. We didn't take that with us. So.
Right. And that's about not engaging in their truth to become yours.
Right. Yeah, I like how you worded that. That's great.
Their perception, if someone says, you know, I have this acquaintance and we can go out and it's raining out, I'll be, oh my God, it's raining, it's horrible. Next day, go out and the sun's out, oh my gosh, it's hot. And it's like the person's just never, ever happy. And I'll go out in the rain and I'll say, oh, it's fabulous. You know, it's washing away things, cleaning things up. Go out in the sun. Oh, it's really hot today. I'll just be out in it for a little while because I don't like the heat. However, it's a great day to be out in the sun. So I think it's about taking our perceptions and saying, do I need to, every time I go out with this person, feel their perceptions or be moping around because that's their theory? Just it's about being able to be true in your own theories, right?
Absolutely. I have a friend of mine that would always say, you can either go in and be negatively influenced by someone's behavior or attitudes or whatever, or you
right.
can go in and positively, you know, affect them, you know. Sometimes it's difficult to do that depending on the person you're with, but
right.
I definitely hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I think sometimes you go, oh gosh, you know, I don't know what's coming up, but I'll just phase through it. Let's talk for a second about Mexico when you went there for alternative therapies. And what I wrote on the page about it is, in Mexico, this is what I believe, that they have kinder hearts, gentler souls, they're open and aware, and they have a different frequency. In other words, when you go to some healthcare establishments, they have their way to go. They know that they should never influence or be influenced by anything other than what their knowing is. Pretty much, they have a job to do, and that's where they are. And they have to stick to the rules in the books because that's what their paradigm is. So really, sometimes when you go into alternative clinics, you know, myself, you know, naturopathic physician, our life is totally different in contrast to some of the other healthcare providers. And when we look at that, we say, does this have to be that way? Well, yes, it does, because that's what they need for their existence. And then you just take bits and pieces of each one and you bring them together. So don't you think that's when you definitely have your traditional physicians, but you also have your alternative, yes?
Yes, yes. And when we went to Mexico, a lot of people were, you know, hesitant to, you know, I don't want to say hesitant to cheer us on, but just a little bit doubtful because we were going to another country. We didn't know anything about where we were going, but Lenny, at that particular time, we were given, you know, really, really not great news about his condition. And the traditional side, he just did not want to go that route again. So for us, it was completely a huge walk of faith going there. But right when we walked in the clinic, and my husband's a builder, so I mean, it was just an old rundown building, and he was like, oh my gosh, they could fail like every building code in this place.
Right.
It wasn't like hot and cold water. I mean, it was just kind of crazy, but I'm just looking for any sign of hope. And as soon as we walked in the main reception area, there was a little sign that said miracles happen here.
Yeah.
And I took a picture of it and put it on Facebook and said, miracles are getting ready to happen here. So yes, I agree that, you know, the people, it was completely opposite of what everybody told us. I mean, the people were just the kindest, sweetest, most open people that I've ever met. And, you know, the whole theory of they don't like Americans. Well, they were either really faking it good or, you know, the people that told us that were crazy, because even the people that we met on the streets walking to and from the clinic, because it was like a mile walk from the hotel. I mean, just everybody was really, really, like you said, just kind souls was probably the best way to describe them.
And I think when you get to that point, when you realize that you're on a soul journey instead of a physical one, I think that's when miracles do start to show up. That's when guideposts seem to have their neon lights on, and when you're able to be able to start seeing things fall into place. Doesn't mean that they fall into place for a long life and a total remission. It doesn't mean that they fall into place and the world is just absolutely wonderful and you never hear the word again. What it means is that you fall into place where you're just at peace with the unknown, and you're able to be able to enjoy the presence for the moment, because that's really where life is. You know, I think sometimes people say, oh, but I need a long life. And they come to me all the time. Do you know, I need to get back how I was before. You need to get rid of whatever this is, or you need to fix it. And it's always that there's something broken or something wrong, and they want to be back how they were. But if this is your journey, you're supposed to go through these things. Why do you want to go back there? Maybe you'll be getting something different next time. You know, let's think about the concept of that. I mean, it's the idea of how can we process through life with what it gives us and be able to continue to move forward, versus always wanting to make, in other words, we want to take a big marker and say, this is my life, make sure you stay on that path. Yes?
I agree. I personally, I know this is going to sound crazy, and my husband, he might even think this is crazy that I'm saying this, but I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, we've gone through a hell of a journey, Dr. Jeanette. I mean, we've gone through a lot more than just the cancer. I mean, we've lost two babies, we've lost homes. I mean, we've gone through a lot, but I wouldn't change a thing, because it's made both of us who we are today. And we've helped a lot of people along the way.
Right. So. Yeah, but if you look at it back, maybe you were supposed to be a guide. And being in that guide means you experience the things along with the emotions for the time, but others will be able to hear your stories and learn from that. In other words, if the first person never got cancer, right, well, how would we know what's going on? How would we know to get through it? And how would we know that we can help it, we can change it, we can die from it, we can continue it, it can get better? In other words, how can we learn so much more around it versus thinking, again, you have cancer, you go here, you do this, and that's it, right?
I agree. I always say it's really challenging to minister to someone or encourage someone through something if you've never personally been through it.
Right.
I mean, there's people that have talked to me that are going through the battle of cancer. I'm not going to be able to encourage them the way my husband can, because he's actually been the cancer patient. But if it's someone that's a caregiver or someone that is a loved one that's, you know, battling with their spouse or their, you know, relative, I feel like I've been given those tools and those gifts to be able to pour into that person and encourage them that, you know, this is not, you know, necessarily a horrible thing. You're going to get something good from this. You just have to have faith and get through it.
Let's talk for a second, and in closing, about caregivers or loved ones that aren't on the path when the patient chooses the path. I've seen this many times, just as you suggested before, other family members would want to all be crowding in to hear the answers. And it's truly as if they are vested in the answer. In other words, they truly are on the outside of the patient's life. They might be, you know, loving and caring and be part of it and family and everything. However, when a soul exists, for itself. Do you know what I mean? In other words, they can't take on his path. They can't fix his path. They can't give him something that's going to cure him. So truly he is on his, you know, singular path. You know, we look at it a lot. We say with other people that have other diseases or addictions or mental health or other things, we say there's always others around that kind of keep them in this spot. And then sometimes when the person just looks up and says, you know what, I'm devoid of all of that, and what is my path? Then they're able to shoot forth and get on and be able to figure out what it is. Sometimes when they are held back by caregivers or loved ones that say, oh, no, you can't do that. Oh, no, I heard about this. Oh, no, you can't do that. It's more their fears, their untruths, and their stories they tried to put on the patient, and that seriously will hinder the path, don't you think?
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, and that is probably the biggest thing that after 18 years of going through this with Lenny that I try so hard, especially this last go-around with the decision to go to Mexico. I mean, he made that decision 100% on his own. I was a little bit concerned. I didn't even tell him until after it was all done, you know, that I was a little scared of going there. But, you know, you're absolutely right, Dr. Jeanette. People have to make their own choices when it comes to something like this. In the very beginning, Lenny would constantly ask me, you know, what do you think about that? And did you read this book? Mm-hmm. And did you read that? And, he leaned on me a little harder in the beginning to give him answers and give him my opinion.
Right.
But I would have to say, like, the past 4 or 5 years, he has really made these decisions and then come to me and said, hey, you know, I'm going to do this. What do you think? I mean, I'm pretty much decided, which is, again, what he did with Mexico. And, you know, I have to say I'm really proud of him for that because, like you said, we're all on our own path. And,
right.
You know, I can't take my light, my lantern, and step over on your path and say, here, follow mm-hmm. this light. If you're walking in darkness and you keep turning around and looking behind you,
right.
You know, you have to pick up your own light and your own lantern and follow your path because that's just the way God intends it. So I agree with you. Caregivers need to respect where the person is and pray for them and be supportive and loving, but let that person make their own decision.
And if it ends in the end of life, that is the choice. If we think about it as a soul alternate eternal, then when you shed the human body, you come back again, or you're in with God or wherever that might be, wherever that soul decides to go. The difference is that it isn't, quote, the end. You know, we speak all the time to angels. We speak all the time to spirits. You know, I've done that, you know, in a soul session. You know, it's like, okay, well, your loved ones that have passed over, they're fine. They're okay. You can let go of that grief and that fear of wondering if they're okay, if they've passed on, they're fine, you know. And I think sometimes when we start to learn more about the afterlife, we learn more about an eternal soul, and we learn more that fear doesn't have to be this iron chain, then we're able to make those decisions easier and say, you know what, I'm not sure if that's going to help me or not, but you know what, I'm going to try it. I don't know if this is the answer. It isn't the answer. And if I stumble, well, okay, then maybe I'll try something the next day. You know, I think it's to be light of load instead of putting so much upon yourself. Because when you put stuff upon yourself, it's more of the human stuff. And when you can let all that go and say, I understand God's got it. If you brought this to me, I've seen this article now 4 times in 3 days. I think there's something to this. You know, and be able to be guided, divinely guided. That's truly what we're talking about, yes?
Yes, yes. And I think when people grieve, I mean, it's a natural
mm-hmm.
it's a natural thing to do. I mean, we're losing someone that we love dearly, and it's, you know, it's to be expected. I think the the thing that makes it tough is, like, for me, when I lost my brother, I mean, that's probably the, I've lost, you know, my dad, I've lost my grandma. I mean, I've lost, you know, close people to me, but my brother was very young. And I think that was the toughest because it's, you feel selfish almost. Just like, why aren't they still here?
Right.
You know, I understand what you're saying about, you know, we're all ultimately just here for a minute. It's our soul passing through. We're going on to be, you know, with God, and it's eternal life that's much bigger than this. But at the same time, it's, you know, we have to feel those emotions, and we have to grieve, and we have to grieve with people that are, you know, in that moment because, you know, they've lost that person. So I think that's all natural. It's just, you're right. It definitely gives you more hope when you know that right. This isn't the end. This isn't, you know, the final place.
Mm-hmm.
At least it does for me. So.
Right. I think, you know, the best gift that end-of-life clients can give is to say, it means nothing about my legacy. I don't care how much I left. It doesn't matter. You don't need to write an obituary for me. All you just need to do is, you know what? I came, I did my best, and thank you, God, for the moment. And so many times my clients would share that with me. And I think when we can say that is it that simple? Yes. Is it that profound? Absolutely. Is it that, you know, most creative second of your soul? Yes. And I think when we say, how can we get to that? And I almost tried to say, don't worry about getting there. Just worry about being in the moment. So like if you're falling down and something happens today, something gets taken away, something given is to you, something's unexpected, just be there and not worry about the next day or the next week or yesterday or tomorrow. And I think that's what we really talk about when you say, you know, about Love Conquers Cancer, the name of your book. It's truly about saying, you know, you really, love is not, you're not saying I'm going to love you tomorrow if I'm going to love you yesterday because you're saying for today, right? Well, Andrea, it was such a pleasure to have you with us. Can you share with the listeners how to find out more information about your work? That would be wonderful.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again, Dr. Jeanette. It was truly a pleasure to get to know you and talk with you. My book can be found on Amazon, and I am working on an audio version that hopefully will be available in the next month or so. But the book is right there, and we're believing it's going to help a lot of people.
Absolutely. Well, it truly is about sharing your story and being able to say, this is how it panned out for me. This is how I'm looking at the challenges. And this is how I'm going forward and what I learned in reflection. So thank you so much for joining with us today because that's what you shared in your book.
Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. If you'd like to find out more information about Andrea London, again, her book is Love Conquers Cancer, Discover Hope, and Alternative Healing on the Road to Wellness. Please do click on the link on the bottom of today's show page for more information and go directly to her website. And it truly is about saying, it's okay. What's showing up for me today? I'm going to go through the experience, take little notes, write some things down. What are my fears, loves, joys, expectations? And be able to set it to the side. And each day when you get up in the morning, we always say about having a gratitude journal, I almost say love, breathe, amen. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Till tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family. Clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.